Patas. Patas. Patas.
Welcome to Fart House, where we watch the artsiest, fartiest films so that you can pretend that you did. I am your host, your only host. Remember, Patrick? I'm your only host of this show.
Mm-hmm. I'm just the guy that hangs around.
You're just here, and you also have a microphone. But thank you for being here, and welcome. How are you doing, Patrick? Malin?
I'm a bit of a Grumpelstiltskin today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Not too bad. I'm just like, you know, I try to...
Very harsh energy coming through.
I try not to talk shit about work, mostly because you never know who's listening.
No one at work listens to your show?
I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't
think
so. My
show?
Yeah, your show. not as far as I know. And, you know, there's worse jobs out there. I've just, like, today I've been so frustrated. And I've been, it's the most, angry is a strong word. It's the most frustrated I've been at work in a long time.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm just a little bit feeling wits endy. But
did you feel like punching a wall?
No. I haven't been. I can't remember the last time I felt like punching a wall. Probably not since I was like 11.
Just go punch your little bro.
Do you remember? Did you ever have any like really big fights with your brothers that you got in trouble? I can think of a couple.
Oh, well, yeah, we would get in fights and stuff. Never like physical altercation that much. I mean, we would like punch each other in the back really hard.
Oh, yeah, that was like a key brother thing. They punch in the back really hard.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know, it was like less damaging, but it still hurt for some reason. I don't know why, but it was like, I can still hear the drum of my brother's back is like, dunk, dunk, dunk.
And I can see the sort of like how they yeah. like...
Because it seems less harsh for some reason than punching the stomach, yeah. you know, but you can still inflict pain. But I remember like Brady and Shane, for some fucking reason, whenever I was in the bathroom, they would try to get in and sometimes they'd like break into the bathroom and I'd be like pooping or taking a shower. And I'd feel like I would scream as loud as I could, you know, to like the sound barrier shattered. You know,
there was one time where I got in big trouble. I can't remember what I did to get in trouble. But I was sent to my bed or sent to my room like pretty early and I was so mad. And so I just sat in my bed and just stared out the doorway. And Tom and Jeff, my little brothers, thought it was so funny to peer in and like tumble past the doorway as I was just staring out at them. And I was like screaming. I was like, Tom, just stop. And they would try and like sneak around the door frame to tease me.
Those little fucking little brothers. They're just little menaces, you know?
Yeah. And we're so mature. And
we were so mature. We just wanted to be taken seriously. I remember that as a child. Why won't they take me seriously? How mad I am. And then my parents and my brothers would laugh at me. You know? As they should have.
Yeah. I know. If I have kids and they're, you know, 9 or 10 years old and they're as mad as I was, I would be laughing my ass.
God, you're just like, no one understands the turmoil inside me, you know?
Yeah, I like to think I'd be empathetic because I went through it, but no, it's just so funny seeing just this little human who doesn't have any actual problems matter than you'll probably ever be in your life.
Yes.
Anyways, how are you doing, Casey?
I'm doing good. Trisha, my wife, and I finished a 1,000-piece puzzle this week.
Ooh,
we've never done such a thing.
What was it of?
It was like pop culture from like the 60s and 70s. So there was like Alfred E. Newman and McDonald's and James Bond.
Was this
stuff.
A gift or did you purchase this on your own?
Trisha bought it at Gelco's, the famous pop grocery store.
Love that place. Love that place.
Yes, got some Sprecher's pop.
Have you had their Blockbuster sandwich?
No, I didn't know they had sandwich.
You've never had their sandwiches at Gelco's?
No, you got mad at me about this. I haven't. Sorry.
Oh, wait, I've brought this up before?
Yes, you have.
Oh, well, you need to try them.
I will.
All right, when I come into town,
Trisha said it's
kind of
dirty in there.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. They probably.
But the sandwiches are
they
good.
Probably haven't cleaned.
Just brush off the desk.
Deli slicer since 97.
Oh, boy. You're really selling this sandwich. But it's really close to my apartment, actually. So if you ever make it to Los Angeles again, which I sincerely doubt you will, we'll go to Gelco's.
I'll fly into Bob Hope. Pick me up from there.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That would be fast. We could just pick you up at the Burbank Airport.
Yeah. Just hit up Bob's Big Boy on the way home.
That's the Bob Hope one, right? The Burbank?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Patrick, do we have a sponsor today?
We do. Oh my God, this is a really exciting sponsor. Okay, so this is cool. Remember how one of our sponsors was Dan Rarig, cousin of a cousin?
Oh, yes, of course.
So I was at Sammy Lawboy's wedding. And it was really exciting because I got to meet the cousins of the cousins, IRL. Got to meet Dan Rarig, IRL. Yep. Fantastic. Had some great Kurosawa discussions. And then I got to meet another cousin of the cousins. And it is the Moore family. Nick, Jamie, Brandon, Dylan, and Drew. The great. Moore family. They listen from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Wow! Another Midwesterner.
Another Midwesterner. And their favorite art house movie,
collectively,
Nick wrote, does Roadhouse count?
You bet it does. I love Roadhouse.
I love Roadhouse too. And Nick actually left us. So it was really great to meet Nick and his whole family. His kids are amazing. And Jamie's awesome. It was so fun to meet cousins of cousins. And I'm claiming them as my own now.
Sure.
And this is what's fun about weddings, Casey. I don't know if you know this is what's fun about weddings, but meeting,
tell me.
Meeting people. Meaning family.
Well, I know you've met many lovers at weddings.
Oh,
in the
my.
Past,
this is so not true. Where are you even getting this? This is so. Someone texted me about this. Someone texted me and said, what is this about Casey saying you have lovers at all these weddings? I'm like, oh my God. I don't know where you get this. Anyways.
You're a man of the people.
Anyways.
Some of them are women. Go on.
The Moore family, Nick, Jamie, Brandon, Dylan, and Drew from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Oh, and they have prescribed us a Gold Rush cocktail.
Oh, I love the Gold Rush, a favorite of my father's.
Gold Rush is a fantastic cocktail. So yeah, this is the sponsor this week, and it's in honor of Matt. Oh, did I say it was Sammy Lawboy's wedding? Fuck.
You did.
Can you cut this out? You got to cut this.
Sure, yes.
It was Matt and Perry's wedding, Morty Woodworth's wedding.
Well, now, see, if you say it like that, I have to keep in the Sammy Lawboy's wedding.
Yeah, you can keep it all in.
All right, yeah. Very good.
It was Morty Woodwork and Pete and
it was
P's
some
wife.
Attractive blonde cousin. So it's hard to keep them.
Yeah, it was Morty Woodwork's wedding, and this is in celebration of that. So thank you so much
Fantastic.
To the Moore family. Really, really appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Really, that is so kind of you to support the show. And it's a lot of work, we really need the help.
Do you remember the review that was said? There's a 0.0% chance I watch any of these movies.
Yes.
That was Nick. That was Nick Moore that left that review.
Patrick, let's move on here. I want to change the name of this segment. Letterboxd Rundown. You know, I don't want to be associated with some corporation, you know? How do you feel about that?
I'm indifferent. I think it's fine to call it the Letterboxd.
But
we'll
keep it Letterboxd Rundown for now, but I don't want to be owned, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares? All right. How was your week this week, Patrick?
D plus, C minus.
C minus. You go first then because I had an A plus plus week.
Oh, shit. I only watched one.
That's okay. Go on.
Yeah.
What is it?
I'm trying to get back to my horror roots. It's been a while since I've been... it's been a while since I've watched anything, since I've been all over the country.
October is on the cusp.
Oh,
Patrick.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a month away.
30 days and counting.
Season.
I know. Oh, shit. I'm so excited to plan our... did we have a special name for our Fart House scary season?
I don't know, but we'll have to come,
we'll
up,
have
with
to come up with one.
It could be just something like Fart House.
That's a good idea. I like
Haunted
that.
House. Haunted Fart. Something like that.
Yeah, the Phantom Fart.
The Phantom Fart.
Sure. Anyways, I just watched one. So I got a Shudder subscription. I used to have one, got it back. And there's this movie that had like okay reviews and it sounded kind of interesting. It was called Southbound. It was kind of like an anthology, like Southern California.
Seen it.
You've seen it?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
It was uneven.
Yes. It was
very
so uneven. And it wasn't
some
clear.
Some of them were scary and some of the images was scary, but some of them were very unmemorable.
Yeah, I agree. I was kind of disappointed. And also, like, for an anthology, I feel like it straddled the line between straightforward narrative and anthology to the point, like, it was so confusing. Like, what?
Yes, because they're all very connected, and I would say too connected.
They're too, exactly. They're too connected. Like, it's not like Tales from the Crypt, you know, where they're like.
Or my favorite, Tales from the Hood.
Tales from the Hood. Or, what's the John Carpenter and Stephen King and I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of it.
Oh,
Body Bags.
Creepshow.
Creepshow.
So yeah, Southbound, I was disappointed.
Yeah, disappointed. That's all I watched. But I finally got TV. So I got a TV here in my place. Really excited about it.
Is it 4K?
It's 4K.
Whoa.
70-inch 4K.
Are you going to get a 4K player? Is there there is, right?
There is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put
how
my PS...
How much is that?
It's like 180 to 250. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my PS4 on OfferUp and hopefully get at least 150 bucks for my PS4 and controllers. And then...
could that play a regular DVD?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know. I know it plays regular Blu-rays, but I don't know if it plays regular DVDs. I should confirm that. Probably. I would imagine it. So. But I should
confirm that. Who's our tech head? I don't really know tech people.
Me neither. Yeah, who is our resident tech expert? Like, do we have a... Pat O'Brien, maybe?
Is it me? My God.
It's probably you or Pat O'Brien. I don't know who else
Pat O'Brien, yeah, I think it's Pat O'Brien because he works more in that, but I've had to learn a lot of crap over the years. Well, very good, Patrick. Southbound, not a great film. It was kind of enjoyable, but not as good as it could have been. I watched four movies this week, Patrick.
That's really good. Not sure if it's A++, but it's very good.
Well, it's A++. If we're grading on a curve here, it certainly is A++. I watched Predator for the first time. I'd never seen it.
Oh, you had never seen it?
I was disappointed. I thought it would be better. I know that's silly to say. It was like kind of, I was like bored or something. And I was like, there's not enough alien stuff in this.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
It was fine. I enjoyed seeing Jesse Ventura.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Did you at least get excited when there was the Carl Weathers, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, I got
son
very
of a
excited.
Bitch.
I didn't realize that was from that.
Oh, you didn't know that was from Predator?
The two
You
arms
son of a
whoosh.
Bitch.
That great meme.
Yeah, we drop that in.
I love Bill Duke. Drop in a meme.
No, remember Arnold goes, scene? You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'll and drop it in.
Thank
I'll drop
you.
It in.
Love when you do a drop.
There's a lot of great side characters in it, but I was just like, it was not as good as I had hoped.
Yeah,
it's not as good as like, and I like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I thought it would be as good as Total Recall.
I know,
and
Total Recall is way better. Yeah.
Okay, then I saw a movie that was bad called The Ruins, which came out in like 2008, stars Jenna Malone. You remember this movie?
Mm-mm. I remember Jenna Malone being in like everything between 2004 and 2010.
Yes, and it's a horror movie like about these four American tourists, and they stumble upon this like ancient burial ground in South America, and it's got this evil plant that's like trying to kill them, and it's like literally a weed. It was a stupid movie. Oh
Why
my god,
did you
it was
watch
so
that?
Dumb. Why not? I don't know. And then the real okay. So Trish and I watched a movie called Dagon, D-A-G-O-N. Have you heard of this movie?
Yes, I have heard of Dagon. Yep.
Have you seen it?
Have not. It's in my watch list.
Incredible.
Really? Okay, cool.
I would say it's maybe my second favorite Stuart Gordon film.
Is there an accent over the O or no? Okay.
They say Dagon in the movie.
They say Dagon. Okay. I fucking love Stuart Gordon.
It came out in 2001. It looked great. I loved it. It's a great folk horror.
Is it streaming? Or did you go to Videotech?
We went to Videotech. I don't know if it's streaming.
I love that. I'm so upset that I don't have a Videotech here.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, Trisha found it there. Blu-ray? Come on. It was on Blu-ray. Okay, and then Trisha and I watched Porco Rosso, the Studio Ghibli movie about a pig pilot. And I liked it a lot. It was
cool.
Good.
Yeah, you had a great week.
Yeah. A++. All right, Patrick. Let's get out of here. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fart. All right, this is Fart House, a show that I host alone. Maybe I'll reinstitute Patrick as the host by the end of the episode.
I like the idea that I'm just in the same Zoom room, like 24/7.
Hey, can I say something real quick?
Like, I never leave the Zoom room. I'm always
there. Yeah. You're like Gollum underneath a little mountain on his lake, scooting around on his boat. Yeah, we watched the artsiest, fartiest films so that you, the listener, can pretend that you did, which is why we're discussing a movie that I did not like when I saw it in theaters and I did not like when I watched again. It's called Shame by Steve McQueen. We'll discuss Shame and subject it to our proprietary fartsy test, which determines how impenetrable this movie really is. But Patrick, I must ask you, do you own this movie and have you seen it before?
No, and yes. I did not purchase this
Did you
one.
Watch it in theaters?
I saw it in theaters, and I liked it in theaters. I'm surprised to hear that you did not like it in theaters.
Were you amazed that this came out 10 years ago?
Yes. Yeah.
Amazed and horrified?
Yes.
Well, so
Wait,
I like...
it 10 years? It was 2011?
2011, bro.
Holy shit.
That was 10 years ago.
I remember seeing it. You know where I saw it was at ArcLight Hollywood is where I saw it.
Maybe we saw it together, Patrick. Is that possible?
We may have seen it together.
Your brief time in Los Angeles, we may have seen it together.
Yeah.
But I saw the movie Hunger, which is Steve McQueen's first movie. And Steve McQueen is a visual artist. He started in like the art world. And so he's a very fascinating director. But his first movie, Hunger, is about the hunger strikes in Northern Ireland. It's also starring Michael Fassbender. And so I was excited to see this movie about sex addiction.
Mm-hmm. I remember. Did you ever follow the blog called The Playlist?
It's still a website.
Yeah, I know. But back in the day, it was like more of its own sort of thing.
Yeah,
I think it was like a Google blog, or it was like a Blogspot, playlist.blogspot.com. Yeah, and then it was purchased by IndieWire. And
I've been a big Playlist bro for a long time.
Same. Anyways, I just remember the reason I bring that up is because I remember them reporting on Shame, and I remember being so excited for it to come
titillated.
Out. Yeah, I was titillated, and I couldn't
wait. It's NC-17, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
We just made it.
What was the first NC-17 movie you saw? Do you remember?
Great question. The first NC-17 movie I saw. Huh. What are some famous ones? Kids? Is that NC-17?
No, that's unrated.
Let me do a quick Google search here.
I know the first one I saw.
What was it?
The Dreamers.
I've never seen that movie.
It's not very good.
We don't like Bernardo Bertolucci in
no,
this
No, we are not Bertolucci heads.
You
know which movie I really I've never seen, but the one that I really remember vividly seeing at the Art House Theater in San Diego? A Dirty Shame, the John Waters movie.
Yes,
and
I
Selma
remember.
Blair
yes,
had these
yes,
like
yes.
triple Z breasts. In, like,
yes, I remember
poster.
That. Was that John Waters' last film? I think it may have been. I never saw
it. Oh my God,
it.
Was it? Let's see.
You know what? I can't even tell you what the first, I don't remember. These were all around the same time that I started seeing.
Oh yeah, there's Blue Valentine. Blue is the Warmest Color.
Showgirls. It's kids.
You know,
underrated.
I've never seen Showgirls.
We might need to do a recalibration episode.
We should do a recalibration for Showgirls. That'd be fun. That'd
I
be fun as hell, man.
Showgirls. It's great. One of the best, weirdest sex scenes in any movie ever with Kyle MacLachlan and Elizabeth Berkley. But anyways, this movie is NC-17. And Patrick, why don't we just get into the plot,
yeah,
shall we?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, this is an NC-17 movie about sex addict Brandon, played by Michael Fassbender, and he cannot stop jerking off to porn. He's a successful business guy.
Yeah, we don't even
it's
know
so
what he
unclear
does.
What his job is. He works in an office and he's making deals and pitches and clients and blah 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 and jargon, but they never say what exactly he does, and maybe Steve McQueen wasn't sure either. But and
also
he
seemed very successful, but and maybe this is realistic, and maybe I should appreciate it more about this movie, but, like, he shared an office, and he had a nice apartment, but not, like, a crazy, not the kind of apartment that you usually see in these New York businessman movies, you know? It was, like, seemed like kind of...
I feel like one of my criticisms of this movie is that I feel like there wasn't this. It's a little out of touch with reality, and that was one of the things I thought, because I'm like, he is wealthy. I don't think he would take the subway every day.
Yeah, that too.
I think he would drive a car. I really do. If he's living in Manhattan and working in Manhattan, he would probably have a car or take
right.
a cab to work or something. I just he wouldn't be taking these scuzzy New York subways all the time like he is.
Right.
You know,
it was just confusing.
Work.
Like, is he a huge, like, super wealthy hotshot, or is he just kind of like a, I don't know, middle of the road guy that just is doing all right, but
like a Casey and Patrick.
Yeah,
type.
like one of
But he is a sex addict. He's constantly hiring sex workers to come over and play with his ding dong, and he's kind of. It seems like things are pretty going okay, but then his sister shows up, played by.
Your favorite actress.
I don't dislike her. I just haven't liked her in some of these movies. Carey Mulligan.
Everyone,
I thought she's actually really good in this movie.
Everyone
actually.
That I talk to about this podcast, the first thing they bring up is, does Casey really hate Carey Mulligan that much?
That is bullshit. No, they don't. The first thing they bring up is Patrick okay? Carey Mulligan, I thought, was really good in this. But she's kind of, I think she has borderline personality disorder. She has something going on, and she's just a lot for Michael Fassbender to handle. They seem to have some sort of traumatic childhood, although you don't really find out what that is. End of movie. There's nothing else to say about this movie. Things kind of go sideways after she shows up.
Yeah, things kind of go downhill. He's sort of...
He can't masturbate with the door unlocked anymore because she walked in on him.
And he tries to have sex with someone in sort of like a more loving way. He tries to maybe... Like, it's established that the longest relationship that Brandon has had is 4 months, and he doesn't really believe in long-term relationships, and... He tries to have sex with
a woman he's been going on dates with, and he can't get it up. But he can get it up for these sex workers. What does that say about him?
Exactly.
Nothing really interesting, as far as I'm concerned. But
okay, so I want to ask you about the scene. So a scene that I think was supposed to be particularly poignant, and I remember it being affecting for me in theaters, but at home it was interminable. The scene where Carey Mulligan sings.
I just want to say, there were times where I was laughing during this, where I was kind of like, okay. Like it was very serious, like art housey so seriousness.
Serious. Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, what no, no. That's fine. The scene where Carey Mulligan's singing New York.
Oh my God, Patrick. I wrote that down. I go, what is with this scene? She sings the entire song of not just a normal version of New York. New York. It's like
it's like 8 minutes.
To be.
I wanna be a part of it. New York. New York.
And I'm like, my God. Cut! We didn't need to see this whole thing. Yeah, seriously, it was like, I was like, what is this performance scene? I wrote that down because I was like, this is, Interminable is so correct. And one thing that does happen in this, I feel like Steve McQueen is trying to be like, kind of trying to take away the sexiness of Sex Addiction, as it were. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of all supposed to be sort of bland and,
Mechanical,
but he does that by like having these really awkward long scenes, and to me it doesn't quite work. It's like kind of boring and slow and less poignant. And if he's an artist, if he is a visual artist, you think, I don't know, I think he could have done something a little more interesting than just being like, this is blank,
yeah,
this is nothing. He could have inserted meaning, I guess. In those,
I also
long
hate
scenes.
The song New York, New York. I hate that song. I think it's an awful,
you hate New York,
dumb
famously.
Song. I famously do hate New York. What do you think of that song? I think it's such a tacky, lame, and it's just like so.
I like when they sing it in Gremlins too.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
You remember that part? Yes. I have no opinion on New York, New York.
Really? I think it's, and I thought it was so, it was that whole sequence was cringe to me. And
cringe,
then when,
very cringe.
And then when she gets done off stage and Michael Fassbender's boss is like, you can sing. And I didn't even think her voice was that particularly good. It was just
he just wanted to have sex with her, though.
Yeah, he just wanted to fuck her.
There's a few things in this movie where I was like, Steve McQueen, you've never worked in an office or been in a real world at all. Like, it just felt like out of touch artsy person being like, this is what like people working in their little cubicles punching away on the keys are like. Like Michael, in the first scene, Michael Fassbender's like, where's my computer?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, they're taking your computer away. And I'm like, so he just doesn't have a computer at work? What is he doing all day? Like, this is 2011. They're not like typing things up on typewriters and doing, you know, in and out memos with paper. Like, what is he doing all day? And this computer doesn't come back for like 2 weeks. Like, what did he do that whole time?
Also, I mean, I know this, the movie's 2011. It's not 1999. But what is Michael Fassbender's character doing that it's so, like, he's downloading all of this?
I know. And I was like, Steve, it felt like this was written by like a Republican senator,
yes,
in some way.
Yes.
Like, because it's like,
do you remember, like, when his boss is going through the sexual stuff that's on his computer?
Like,
it's like,
there's like, I'll drop the clip in here.
Yeah,
it's
drop
like,
the clip.
It's like, cum, it's cream, it's threesome. I don't even know what that is, man. And I was like, well, I'm no porn doctor, but like, I've heard of those things. He's not saying.
It was
saying,
like the most like vanilla like 13-year-old
like,
search
like,
term.
Blondes, lesbian, threesome, cum. I don't even know what that is, man.
Your hard drive is filthy, right? We got your computer back. I mean, it is dirty. I'm talking like hoes, sluts, anal, double anal, penetration, interracial, facial, man, cream pie. I don't even know what that is.
And I was like, yes, you do. Like, you. I was like, a Steve McQueen, like, did he look up a Wikipedia page, like, pornography? Like, yeah. What? Like, pornography genres that he can list off?
It was like the top 10 most general porn.
Yes, it wasn't even terms. Like, it didn't even feel like. Yeah, there was a few things like that. And like you said, it's 2011, and Michael Fassbender has so many DVDs and
magazines.
VHS tapes. VHS tapes. I was like, you got to digitize, man. Didn't you think that was odd?
Yes, it was so odd. And I kind of tried to give it the benefit of the doubt. I was like, oh, he's just so addicted. He needs every,
I know.
Every medium of porn. But it doesn't seem to track that he's got all these magazines and VHS
There was something else that just kind of clicked me the wrong way. He's like eating Chinese food and watching porn on his laptop. And I was like,
he's just so addicted, dude.
Yeah. I was just like, now you can be addicted and not do it like every second of, like, I feel like you would maybe, I don't know. Like it didn't seem like, it seemed like that just rang false to me. I think that was maybe I'm being a little harsh in this movie, but just some of the stuff rang false. Like the stuff we were just talking about where yeah. I'm like, it feels a little out of touch with reality.
Watching,
you know?
It, I remember really liking it when I first saw it, and watching it again, it felt, I still like it. I know you don't, but it felt much sillier watching it.
It does. I honestly think attitude towards sex have changed a lot in these 10 years. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's easy to underestimate that. I think 10 years is actually a pretty long time.
Because I think at the end of the day, I mean, I know he's a sex addict. So that's like, I'm kind
of. Did you feel bad for him at any point, though?
Oh, I mean, I felt for him. Like, okay. It felt like he was really addicted. But so I'm putting that kind of sex addict in a different category because I don't really. I'm no expert in that, and I don't really want to speak of that because I think people do suffer from that and love addiction, and I know that really takes over people's lives.
Yeah.
But the thing that felt really outdated to me was that attitude towards pornography, towards even gay sex, like with a sex with a man,
yeah,
felt a little outdated. And then also hiring sex workers, because I feel like this movie is like, oh, he like all of those are sins, or the movie is sort of portraying all those things as like things he should be ashamed of.
Exactly. Like you're supposed to be totally shocked at the depravity of it all. And to me, in the final sequence, you know, the sort of was like the denouement or the climax. Yeah. To me, the only thing that he did that was really awful was when he was going after that girl in the bar. And
yes,
I mean, she seemed to be game for
even
it.
Even that was, or not very, I mean, it was consensual. She was into it.
Yeah, she definitely wanted.
Yeah.
If Michael Fassbender approached you at the bar, how far would you let him get with you?
I'd say, let's see it. Was that special effects in the movie, dude? Let's see that giant penis.
Oh my God.
Of yours.
That's an enormous penis. Oh, do you think it was real?
It had to be, right?
I guess.
It wasn't big enough to be. It's not like Dirk Diggler.
Yeah, it's not Dirk Diggler, but I mean, it's a pretty big penis.
But like, I just wrote down all the sins that he should feel shame for.
Oh yeah,
masturbation.
Let's go through his sin list.
Kissing a man, hiring a sex worker, impure thoughts. You know, it's just like, because there's like a lot of like him staring at wanting to like having sexual fantasies about a woman. Like they're clearly saying that about him, that he's having like lustful thoughts about someone. But I'm like, is that worth, is, should he be feel shame for those things? Like now I feel like it would have to go farther if this movie came out now.
Exactly.
Because I was not actually that, I was not that shocked by his behavior. I was like, a lot of this seems like not outside the bounds of, didn't seem that inappropriate.
Right. Like it didn't seem so crippling, like it was interrupting his life so much where he could, like it was destroying his job. And I mean, I guess the biggest thing that it established is that he seemed to have trouble establishing healthy romantic relationships, but yeah. I don't know how much of that is a function of his quote-unquote sex addiction or a function of other psychological issues, or like, because, you know, the yeah. movie, like as you mentioned before, the movie alludes to some sort of trauma that he and his sister had kind of endured, or there's some kind of sordid family history there, and
yeah.
that might inform more of his inability to form romantic connections than his quote-unquote sex addiction.
And his sex addiction never really gets him in that much trouble.
No, because even when they find the porn on his computer, he's like, his boss is like, hey, was some intern on your computer? Like, they downloaded some weird stuff.
Yeah, and but that was it. Like, I have heard stories of, like, people, like, friends of friends who had, like, sex addiction who, like, got caught masturbating in a parking lot. Or, like, stuff like that where it's, like, it's really uncontrollable, yeah. you know?
I mean, he does masturbate at work, which is pretty extreme.
It is, but it's still not...
He's in a stall,
which is, like, yeah, a little... That's a little iffy, obviously, but...
But it is, I guess it's a private space.
I just was expecting to be shocked more, and I think attitudes have changed where I'm like, this isn't that crazy anymore.
Right.
Like, or I feel like it didn't age well in that way. And also, I didn't get the sense that Steve McQueen had a great grasp on what sex addiction actually looks like.
I agree.
Now, I'm no expert, but that's just what I felt watching
and
it.
And Steve McQueen is a gay man, correct?
No.
Oh, he's not?
No.
I thought Steve McQueen's gay. Are you sure?
Gonna look this up.
Yeah, look it
no,
up.
No, he's not gay.
Okay, well then that almost makes the final sequence even more problematic for me. Because as we were talking about, like when that scene when he goes into sort of this, he goes into the sex club. And
yeah, so this whole part was confusing for me. Or yeah. like what it was trying to say as a movie.
Yeah, is it saying that's rock bottom when you go to a sex club and have gay sex? Is that like... Like, that's kind of weird. Like, that's...
It wasn't even, like... So, he tries to go into another sex club. I think a straight sex club, maybe. And the doorman's like, not tonight, yeah, you.
Not tonight.
And I was like... But he had not shown any sort of... Before that, that was surprising to me because I was like, well, he has never really... That character never coerced women into, like... He was never, like, super creepy with women.
Right,
I didn't feel like. And well, so I
guess
like,
there's
oh,
that scene
he
where
like
he chases the woman off the subway, but it almost seems like a game that they play every morning, that married
yeah,
woman.
Yeah, because she's, like, excited to see him again later.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I was like, oh, is he, I don't know, I think they should have made his character a little more evil, so that would have been earned where he's not allowed in the sex club, and so he goes across the street to the gay sex club and like makes out with men and gets a blowjob. And the way the movie frames it is like, oh my God, what a disgusting low.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know about that. Like,
exactly. It's kind of a normal thing. That,
I was like, I feel like there was probably a lot of men in that sex club. He went, cause it wasn't a seedy one either. It looked like a cool hip one.
Yeah.
And it was like, there's probably successful businessmen in there.
Yeah. And there's probably a lot of people that are like having a good time and like happy to be there. And then, but then the movie portrays it's like, oh my God, look
where
he is.
Men kissing men.
Yeah,
men. That felt wild, like kind of borderline inappropriate.
Yeah.
What it was saying there.
I agree. So. Especially like in the context of the whole thing, because it's like cutting back and forth to him, like he's clearly going through something. It's like him like losing it. And it's like, oh, can you believe this is where he is?
They always cut to Michael Fassbender's anguished face. Like when he's climaxing, he's like, I feel shame. Like that happens like five times in this movie. Like he's jerking off.
It's
and you
like
can
we've seen. We've seen Michael Fassbender's O face more than any other actor
and
in history.
But it's like, he'll be jerking off and he's like, shame, I feel shame. Like, it's like, okay. Oh, also like, there's a part where he's like throwing away all his porn, his vibrators, his sex toys and stuff.
Yeah.
And he throws away his whole laptop. And again, I was like, Steve McQueen, do you not understand? He would never do that. Like, he needs a laptop probably for work if he's working from home, like... No one would throw
the
away
the porn
their
must
laptop.
Have been hardwired in, man. It must have just been part of a.
And you're so right. You brought this
part
up
of the
earlier.
CPU.
He downloaded all this porn at work, and it was like, are people still downloading gigabytes of porn in 2011? That just doesn't seem like.
I'm no expert, as we've said multiple times.
We've read about these in a lot of books.
We've read about these things. We've read about these things. There was streaming porn available in 2011. You didn't have to download it from LimeWire.
And also, just he shared an office, which I think is like, that's kind of creepy in a way. Like, but I would have almost liked to have seen how he watched porn at work, because he's like literally right next to a guy. And I'm like, I don't doubt that that character would have done that, but it would have been kind of interesting to see like his little routines to hide it, which it didn't really get into that much.
Right. There was no like closing of browser windows immediately or like fiddling around with volume. All these things that I'm not familiar with, but again, people have...
Patrick and I are reading medical journals to learn about people's pornography habits.
It's all very clinical. We did a lot of research for this episode in particular. We wanted to make sure we were well informed.
It's like that quote from The Simpsons where there's the burlesque house that they discover, and they're like,
"Your son has been working in a burlesque house."
Principal Skinner saw him with his own eyes.
"That's true, but I was only in there to get directions on how to get away from there."
Do you remember that?
Yes. How far into Simpsons did you get, like, watching every episode?
I would say 2005 is really where I fell off.
You or, got like, further than me.
High school, probably.
Because I got through probably season... See, I didn't watch it live. I watched it back through all the DVDs.
Oh, I see.
So I probably got through season 8.
I watched it live.
Wow, that's cool.
We were watching it every Sunday night. That was
with your family. You'd all watch Simpsons together.
Yeah, we love Simpsons.
Oh, that's cool.
My family
loves
Simpsons.
One thing that this isn't the thing I want to bring up, but one thing I wrote was cringe factor is high when the boss is trying to pick up on women at that bar. It was like,
painful.
Oh my god, it was awful.
One thing I didn't like, a lot of the scenes feel improvised, not in a good way, like in an awkward these guys don't know how to improvise way. That's
right.
Sort of, I mean, and I actually thought the performances were quite good in this movie.
Yes.
But
I
just
Michael
the way
Fassbender
that they
was
were.
Great.
And I thought Carey Mulligan was really good. There's a scene where Michael Fassbender comes out of the shower and is like pissed at her and pins her to the couch. And she thinks he's joking at first, but he's actually very angry. And I thought that was a very scary, realistic scene, because I feel like that's how like life works sometimes. Like, she thought he was joking, but he's actually furious. And she's like, he's like screaming at her.
Yeah.
Like, you remember that? It was like a kind of a scary flip. I don't know. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of these scenes are very cringe.
There was the thing that I wanted to kind of bring up was that I couldn't kind of get off my mind for a while in the beginning of the movie is when he's making eyes.
Penis.
Well, yeah, that was that's still on my mind, man.
Yes.
When he's making eyes with a woman on the subway.
Yes.
And I just couldn't help but think, if he didn't look like Michael Fassbender, if someone was like acting that way towards someone on the subway.
Yes. Like, it's clear the woman is titillated, intrigued.
Yeah.
Like
she's very into
it. She's married, but she's like, what if I did this? And then it kind of falls apart. But there's a Jim Gaffigan joke where it's like, he's talking about how much easier it is for attractive people.
Life's a little easier for the beautiful people too. Can we admit that? Think about it. If a stranger smiles at you and they're attractive, you think, oh, they're nice. But if the stranger's ugly, like, what the hell do they want? Get away from me. What are you, in a cult? Get out of here.
You know?
Exactly. It's like,
you're 100%
sad.
Correct.
It's like, and I just couldn't help but think, like, if it's not Michael Fassbender, like, he was staring at her. He didn't stop staring at her.
Yes, like, and she's like blushing. Patrick, luckily for you and I, we're both such attractive men.
Yeah, thank God. We can stare for sustained
fly
periods of time.
Fly through life without being banished to the sewers. Well, I just wanted to touch on Carey Mulligan's character, because something that they kind of explore but don't really explore is they're like, we don't know their history. It seems like they came from a pretty rough background, this brother and sister, because there's a lot of trauma
and
there.
And they seem to basically only have each other in this world.
Yes. They don't speak about mother and father, which I kind of like. They don't go into it. But it left me a little wanting, because I feel like they didn't explore that relationship enough. Because I thought that was actually the most interesting part of the movie, was their relationship. And like, there's like weird sexual, like, energy between them, and
they see,
like,
each other naked quite a bit.
Yes. And But that didn't feel expounded upon enough in my estimation, because I don't know. I was like very intrigued in their relationship, but they don't have that many scenes together. Mm-mm. I feel like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen that.
It's like one particular sequence where basically, you know, after she does her awful 16-minute long rendition of New York, New York, they go out and then Michael Fassbender's boss comes home with her and him, and then they hook up in his bed, which is really strange. Yes. Like, can you imagine your sibling and your boss hooking up in your bed?
A married boss? Yeah, that was pretty horrific. But then he blamed her, which I didn't think was fair.
Oh, and Brandon, Michael Fassbender's character? Oh, yeah. No, I didn't think that was fair either.
But, yeah, I don't know. I know it was cool they didn't give backstory. I think that's interesting technique, but I feel like we still didn't know enough about them as people. Mm-hmm. And I would have liked to have known more.
I agree.
That could have been brought out with more scenes between them.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, and it just didn't seem like very, I don't know. We've touched on it a bunch of times, but it seemed like a very surface level look into a sex addict. It looked like someone that just like looks at porn and, you know, pays sex.
It's kind of like, did you ever see Don Juan? I never did with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No.
It looked horrific. But it seemed like kind of the same thing where it's like talking about porn addiction, you know.
You went to a private high school, right? Like a religious high school?
Yes. Academy of Holy Angels.
Was there a big anti-porn thing at your high school?
No.
Oh, mine had huge anti-porn.
Really?
Yeah.
We never talked about masturbation or porn.
No, it
classes.
Was, I remember in sex ed, like they showed us a video of a Ted Bundy interview where he talks about how porn was part of what drove him to do what he did. It's in retrospect, it's absolutely unhinged that they did. It was crazy at the time, but even now it's like they're showing us a Ted Bundy video to tell us how bad porn is. Like, oh my God.
So if you watch porn, you're probably going to kill somebody.
And I remember there was this poor girl
That's
in my
so
class.
That's so funny. Oh no.
And she was really nice, but her dad was, it's weird when someone is so anti, when someone's so anti anything, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, you kind of like, methinks thou doth protest too
exactly, much. Exactly. And this girl in my class is very nice. Her dad was a huge anti-porn guy. Mm. And it was just weird because he kind of looked like he would always wear gray sweatpants and a gray sweatshirt, and he'd drive around this old convertible, and he had a sticker that said ACLU, Antichrist Losers Union, and he was this huge anti-porn
ACLU.
Yes, Antichrist Losers Union, dude.
That's crazy. I've never even heard anyone criticize the ACLU. That's so funny.
Yeah, so. That was my high school experience.
Good God. No one was ever telling me not to watch porn. So I don't have a weird relationship with it now. Maybe people were telling Michael Fassbender's character Brandon to stay away. And
maybe that's it. Yeah.
Fantastic, Patrick. Well, let's move on to the fartsy test, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, the fartsy test is the test used to determine the fartsiness of a movie, which is our scale that gauges how impenetrable, unapproachable, and generally artsy-fartsy a movie is. We continually add and subtract from the list. It's a living document, like much like the Constitution, but far more important. Patrick, is there music? There's a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm. Did this music remind you at all of Hans Zimmer's score from The Thin Red Line?
That didn't jump to my mind, but I could see it. It's very sweeping.
Mm-hmm. It reminded
me there's
a lot
of scenes of him like having sex. There's a lot of like sex montages, kind of, and he's like
with
falling
his
into
face, his
addiction.
Anguished O face.
I've shamed. I've sinned. I'm trying to think of places. Well, that was where that made me laugh when he's in that threesome and it's like zooming in on his face and he's like, I feel shame. Like that made me laugh. Trying to think of other parts that was like,
you know,
okay.
One that kind of made me laugh is like, what? So you know when he gets that hotel room and he's trying to have like a healthy sexual relationship Well,
yeah, I guess, with this woman he's gone on a few dates with.
Yeah, although it's his coworker, that's not ideal, but, you know, whatever. Anyways.
Hopefully there's no sort of.
Yeah, hopefully
the same
everything's
level.
Above board HR yeah. wise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, and he, you know, he has
I'm
trouble.
I'm sure they checked with HR to make sure that was okay.
And then, so then she leaves and he has a sex worker come.
Yes.
And the shot of him having sex with her in the window was just
yes, her hands against the window. Well, you saw that early. You saw somebody else having sex yeah. like up against the window. Yes. Don't you remember we were in, I think I visited you and Tim at E-Film and there was like an office like that. And Tim was like, hey, you remember Shame? Yeah. And he like went up against the window and started doing that.
Yes, how do you remember that?
I don't know. It was just stuck in my mind when I was watching that. Yeah, that part did make me laugh.
Yeah, it's comical.
Well, like we said, we didn't know what he did for work. And like there's a part where his boss was like, this guy, his pitch killed today. And I was like, what do you do? What pitch? Like, they didn't even like make something up. I wonder what the direct, like, what his job was supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's
we'd
like,
have to
any calls? Yeah, like 50. It's like, whoa. Yeah. It's like, the clients yeah. loved his pitch. It's like, what does he do? That was pretty funny. Is there suicide? Spoiler!
Spoiler!
Carrie Mulligan attempts suicide,
attempt.
But she lives.
Did you think that was earned from a narrative perspective?
No.
Me neither.
Part of this felt very film school-y.
It felt
you know, it's like,
so film school-y.
Suicide. We could, like, I was just like.
After a sex bender.
Yeah.
You won't pick up the phone.
Guess what? He watches porn while he eats Chinese food. No, that did not feel narratively earned. I was like, she.
Like, we don't know the extent of her trauma and psychological distress, but it felt like in the context of everything that happened, it's like, okay, they have a fight. Not, I mean, it's an intense fight, but it's not the worst sibling spat I've seen in cinema.
No.
And he leaves. And he just doesn't pick up the phone for a few hours
yeah.
after she tries to call him, and then she tries to kill herself. And it's sad.
Yeah.
I don't think it.
It didn't feel very earned. I actually thought their relationship as brother and sister, sometimes I was like, this doesn't quite work. But other times I thought it was very complicated and interesting. That's why I wanted to explore that a little bit more. Like, it was like he'd get so mad at her. And I was like, that's interesting. Cause like,
yes,
I think siblings have a way of like making you so mad.
It felt like he got really unjustifiably mad at her a lot. And I was like, what? Like, I guess she's kind of annoying, but like, why are you so mad at her all the time?
Yeah. But it wasn't in an intriguing way. It was kind of like, well, what are you doing? Like, you were really going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That suicide attempt didn't get earned.
Also, I don't know how she would survive that. To me, it looked like quite a bit
I did. Yeah, there was so much blood, and he'd been gone for so long. I was like, she lived? Okay.
Yeah. It's great. But
also, at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, the climax of this movie is him crying in the rain?
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't, like, for, like, 5 minutes, like, weeping, and I was like, okay. What did he learn? I don't know. Or, like, how did he grow up?
Yeah.
Anyways.
If you have sex with prostitutes or if you have sex at a gay club, your sister will kill herself and it'll be your fault. That's
yeah,
what he learned.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. That's like kind of what it feels like. So it feels like odd. It did not feel particularly progressive.
Isn't that weird? Like, the more I think about it, I'm like, okay, he didn't actually, in like a cosmic sense, he didn't really do anything that wrong that night. But instead, he's
punished.
He's punished. Or at least he feels like he's, I don't know.
Yeah, well, he feels like he's doing very wrong.
And I'm glad we're talking about this movie because I remember really liking it when it came out, and I liked it last night, but there's a lot of silly fucking shit.
It is just kind of silly. It just feels like this was made in 2011.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie would stand well today,
no.
I guess. Yeah. Okay, here's the big question. Does someone masturbate? Is there a penis in this movie?
Yeah.
The question should be, is there not a penis in this movie? Because it's wall to wall, baby.
Yeah. The question
you see Michael Fassbender's donk several times.
Yeah.
Swinging around in the wind. There must have been like, you know, hair dryers on set to make sure he was all loose and not
That's
got to
be... It's probably the biggest flaccid penis I've ever seen.
Hard to say. I don't know if I can speak to that. Yeah, but it's up there.
Yeah.
But don't you, they must have had it must have been like 120 degrees on set so that he was comfortable.
Exactly. I don't know how else.
It was a shrivel up little button. Maybe it was cold. Maybe that's the even scarier part, Patrick.
I remember, do you ever see the movie 28 Days Later?
Yep.
I'm going to go see the movie 28 Days Later in theaters for my birthday in Maine one year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember this, but one of the opening scenes is Cillian Murphy completely naked.
Yes.
And I went with my third cousin and my dad and my mom.
I've never even met a third cousin.
Yeah. I went with him and I actually didn't get to see the whole movie because I think my mom was apprehensive about, I don't know, me seeing this movie. So then we went over to Terminator 3. So I didn't even get to see 28 Days Later until some couple of years later. But I remember we're in the car on the way home and my third cousin says to me and my dad and my mom, he's like, his penis was really small. I remember thinking to myself, how do you know his penis was small? I was like trying to like parse that. I was like, is it small?
So
I don't know.
I feel like that's like such a teenager thing to be like, that was so tiny.
Yeah.
It was so tiny that his penis was so small.
It's like literally in a hospital bed during a zombie apocalypse. Yeah. And my third cousin's like, his penis was so small.
That's so weird. And odd that he felt comfortable sharing that with your parents. Patrick, are there topics, images, or behaviors that go beyond what would be considered acceptable in a mainstream film? Well, we've talked about it in that it's trying to be, but it felt sort of oddly tame.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't it kind of?
It did, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's like more nudity and sex than you'd be used to, but as far as like the actual like thematic content, it's not that transgressive.
Yeah, like, this is NC-17, and it was funny when I was checking it out from Videotech, the woman working was like, ooh, an NC-17 movie to Trisha and I when we were checking it out. I don't know if that was funny. Her name was Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
It feels like it's trying to push the boundaries, but if you cut a few frames out of this movie, it would be a clean R.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Some of the nudity frames, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some of the butt eating that Michael Fassbender does.
Oh, I forgot about the butt eating. Yeah. Yeah. Ass eating season, as they say.
Yes. Yes. Those damn.
Have you heard of this season?
Gen Zs, they love eating ass.
Yeah. Do they? Is that a thing? Gen Z loves eating ass?
They love it.
Oh, interesting.
Can't get enough of it. Can Peanut start watching this movie after 8 p.m. without falling asleep? Peanut?
I stayed awake and I started at around 10 p.m.
That would be tough, though, because like you said, there are some scenes where you're like, oh, my God, get on with it, man.
Yeah. I checked my watch a few times, but it moves along okay overall.
It's only an hour and 41 minutes, but it felt like a long hour 41, I felt like.
Yeah, it wasn't a tight hour 41, but for me, it wasn't too tedious.
Okay. Is there an inordinate amount of milling about so much so that this could be retitled We're the Millers, Patrick?
There's some millage, but I wouldn't say inordinate.
There's a lot of like walking around his office at work.
And he's like walking around New York, walking around his apartment.
I feel like there's a good amount of millage.
It's a medium. It's a medium. Schmedium.
Hmm. Poster titillation level. Now, in my mind, this doesn't have a distinct poster.
I remember the sheets. Do you remember the sheets poster?
The sheets was a thing. Yes. And I guess I was titillated by that, but that was just because I knew who Steve McQueen was. But if I had seen that without any prior knowledge, I don't know if I would have been titillated.
Yeah. If I didn't know Michael Fassbender, Carey Mulligan, or Steve McQueen, I would have been. I mean, the title, I get the title and the sheets. It's kind of titillating. But yeah, I'd say low medium for me.
Can I just say, though, I think Steve McQueen is a great director. I really like Hunger,
mm-hmm.
and I really like Widows. Have you seen Widows?
I like Widows. I didn't love Widows. I really liked Lover's Rock.
I love Lover's Rock. I need to see the rest of his
Small Axe
series.
Yeah, me too.
But I think he's fantastic.
12 Years a Slave is excellent.
I actually haven't seen 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think Lover's Rock does a good job of kind of concentrating on small, not much action and making it riveting. Because like not that much happens in that movie.
No,
but
barely
it's
anything
riveting.
Happens in Lover's Rock.
You know what I mean? Where like this movie also kind of the same thing. I don't know. I really like Lover's Rock a lot. Patrick, do you have anything pretentious you can say about this movie? I don't particularly.
I think the only thing, it's like if you're at a party and someone's asking what you think about Shame, you could say that sex for Brandon, for Michael Fassbender's character, is nothing even remotely, is something that maybe for the average person isn't recognizable. It's completely mechanical, and it's all just about. There's this Doug Stanhope. Have you heard of the comedian Doug Stanhope?
Yeah.
He has this kind of gross joke about how when you get older, about how sex is almost like, it's like lancing a boil or like popping a pimple. It's like you just kind of have to like, yeah, just kind of have to deal with it. And that's how this movie sort of like portrays sex for Brandon's character. Like it's not a romantic expression of love or passion. It's like this something, it's almost like a, like an itch that he needs to scratch.
I think that's like, you know, being an addict, you mm-hmm. know? So that is sort of a accurate portrayal in the way that like, it's not even enjoyable, but he has to.
Yeah, exactly. Compulsion. No, it's not enjoyable.
So anyways, very good. Patrick, do you have a score for this movie?
I do. I'm going to be
what is it?
Cheeky.
6.9.
Yes. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's NC-17, so it gets points for that. I was gonna say 8, actually. So
really,
6.8. Yeah.
Oh, 6.8 or 8.0?
No, 8.0. But you're right. Oh. I'm gonna change mine to 6.9 too. Nice. Because it's not difficult to follow. It can be boring. It's a lot of sex in it. Also, everyone. This is another thing. I don't know if this rubbed me the wrong way, but everyone in it is hyper attractive.
Oh,
even
yeah.
the sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there could have been. That is. I don't know. I feel like they could have changed that up.
Yeah, everyone's
super hot.
It
would have made it felt a little more desperate, you know? It's like, well, of course he wants to have a threesome with these two hotties.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Patrick, do you have a drink pairing? Also, like, you know, there, I feel like there was no cum or jizz in this. So I felt like in some ways it still was through the male gaze point of view.
Yeah, there was no cum.
And I feel like there should have been.
There should have been some jizz.
Yeah. Because there wasn't Stranger by the Lake, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure there was jizz.
Anyways,
we've seen jizz before in our movies.
Oh,
we've seen it a lot in the realm of the titties.
In the realm of the titties, yes.
But my
see,
drink
that
pairing.
Movie is. I feel like that movie is what this movie is kind of trying to be, a little bit, you know. And that was provocative.
Yeah, but I feel like that movie was in. It wasn't so much. I mean, it was about a almost like.
I mean, in terms of the provocation.
Oh yes.
Like, this is about sex.
Because, like, I don't think In the Realm of the Titties was about... it was about addiction, but not, like, sex addiction. It was, like, they were just kind of addicted to
like
each other.
Addiction.
Yeah, it was, like, love addiction, yeah. Or
yeah,
just, like, this...
kind of the same thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, unless your drink pairing is a cup of cum,
no.
I think...
No, it's a glass... It's a shot of your finest tequila is the drink pairing.
Why?
You remember where, because I thought it was
cringy. Do ask for that.
Hi, excuse me. Listen, I don't want to beat around the bush. I think you're absolutely gorgeous. My name's David.
Hi, David. Elizabeth.
Nice it's a beautiful you. Name. Hi, I'm David. I'm David. Hi, how are you? David.
Rachel.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Listen, can I buy you a drink? Can I buy you all drinks?
Sure, why not?
I would love that. That would be my pleasure. What are you guys drinking? What do you want?
We were thinking shots.
You were thinking shots?
Sure.
You just did shots of tequila. Do you guys like a shot of tequila?
Bring it on.
I love it. Excuse me. Hey, bartender, can we get 4 shots of your finest tequila?
I'm sorry. You are so hot and I just want to talk to you. And,
it's like, I'm sorry. You're so beautiful.
I'm just going to go out and say you were so beautiful and we're buying you drinks. I'm sorry. We are buying you drinks. That's like how that scene
it was
went.
So cringy. I was like, oh, this is awful.
And this guy right over here, yeah. His pitch killed with the clients today.
It's like bartender, can we do 4 shots of your finest tequila?
Yes. It was quite cringe. I do feel like sometimes like artsy people, they don't know how to write real person dialogue. I don't know if that dialogue was written, but I was just like, have you ever been in a bar with a bunch of bros? And like Michael Fassbender and those guys, they felt more kind of quiet, artsy types than like loud Wall Street bros, which I feel like they were kind of supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I can see, like, sometimes there is a little bit of overlap between those two kinds of
That's true.
People.
It's true. Wow, Patrick, we did it.
Is this it? Is this the end?
This is the end.
We end after the drink pairing?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, Patrick.
Yeah.
We can announce the movie we're doing next week.
Let's do it.
Which is Y Tu Mamá También.
Yes. Miguel's going to love this.
Yes, Miguel's going to love this movie. Miguel's gonna love this. Y Tu Mamá También. Yes. Ooh, I love this movie when I saw it.
I know. I'm curious to see. How many times have you seen it?
Twice, I would say, but I think I saw them both in college.
I think I've only seen it once. So I'm
very moved when I saw it
Me too.
In college. Ooh, I was moved.
Love Gael García Bernal. Love Diego Luna.
Speaking of jizz, there's some in that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, I remember being excited because I was like, every time I thought there was going to be a sex scene, there was one.
It's titty after titty.
I'm excited to talk about that movie. Y Tu Mamá También. Alfonso Cuarón from, what is that, like Oro, the gold wave or something?
I don't know. Did I tell you about the time he couldn't get out of the parking lot at eFilm?
Oh no! What happened?
They were when we were working at eFilm, we were doing
Patrick
the DI.
You work at a post production house called eFilm, and that's where they like color a film and make it look sparkly.
Yeah,
it's kind of like one of the last things you do in making a film.
Exactly, give it a certain look. So, anyways, it was during Gravity with a Sandra Bullock vehicle.
Yes,
and he. He couldn't get out of the park. Like, he kept trying to go the wrong way. Like, you know, there were two gates. There's an exit gate and an entrance gate. And he kept trying to go through the entrance gate to get out. And so there's no sensor, like, to get him out. So we had to walk out there and guide him over to the
Was he exit. Upset?
Oh, yeah. He was very flustered. He wasn't rude, but he was very flustered.
That's so
Probably embarrassed,
funny.
Too, because we saw it happening on the
In
security
real time?
Camera. Yeah.
Oh, what's Alfonso doing over here?
It is totally baffled.
That's so silly.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to discuss that more. Did you help him?
Yeah, yeah. Literally went out to show
him. Did you try to speak to him in Spanish?
No, I would have been too embarrassed. I'm trying to think. You know who I spoke to in Spanish was Emmanuel Lubezki, Chivo.
Oh,
Terrence Malick's
He seems kind of a fun dude.
He is. He's got an enormous ego.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he's pretty nice, actually. He just, his ego is pretty big.
I had to speak a little bit of Spanish because we went to get some clothes altered and the woman did not speak a lick of English. And so I was like, I had to pull that out and I was able to do it pretty well. I was excited.
Nice.
I haven't spoken Spanish in a while.
I had to do that today at the laundromat, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. I've been studying, je te dis le français. Been studying French lately.
On like Duolingo or what's like your... Cool.
Duolingo.
That's
and I've
awesome.
Got some books too. Been
Love that.
Studying up. Anyways, that's not for listening audiences. This is Fart House. It's fun. Wall to wall. So if you like this show, follow us on Twitter at Fart House Pod. On Instagram at Fart House Pod. Follow Patrick on Twitter at Patrick R. Mallon. And follow him on Letterboxd at PR Mallon. My... social services are Casey Lee O'Brien on all of them. Follow me and get, oh yeah, follow me. Don't and unfollow Patrick. If you're following Patrick on Letterboxd, unfollow him and follow me on Letterboxd so I can get a higher follower count.
No.
So do that for them.
No.
You find yourself in the kitchen. You see an eclair in the receptacle and you think to yourself, what the hell? I'll just eat some trash. No.
So you ate trash.
No, it wasn't trash.
Adjacent to refuse is refuse. we digress.
So good. All right. This is a Cinephile Cuties signing off.
Bye.
Patas. Patas. Patas.